Shas Illuminated presents the following shiur by Rabbi Moshe Dan Kestenbaum. Meseches Nedarim has been dedicated by Mr. and Mrs. Yehuda Koenig in loving memory of Malka and Aaron Zvi Krausman.
Today's daf is daf Samach Vav. I apologize for being behind. We have to go back to Samachei Amar Aleph in the Mishnah. I do save a little bit of grace because this sugya over here does connect to daf Samach Vav, as well as we will see. The Mishnah on the bottom of Samachei Amar Aleph says that Rameir Aymer Yeshvarim Shehin Kinaylad Ve'enan Kinaylad. There are things that are like Nailad, but not like Nailad. Ve'en Chachamim Maidim Lo and the Chachamim do not agree. Ketzad Amar Kainim Shani Naises Plainis Shavia Ra. He asks himself if he marries a certain lady, Shavia Ra, because her father is evil. Amru Lai, they said to him, Mace, Aish Asa Tshuva, that he died or he did Tshuva. Mishnah gives other such examples. A person asks on himself a certain house, and because there's an evil, bad dog in the house, and then they tell him the dog died. So in such cases, Rameir says, it's like Nailad, but it's not like Nailad. The Gemara brings two ways to explain the Mishnah. First, the Gemara brings a pshat of Rav Huna. This is a pshat that the Gemara holds like, because the other pshat, the Gemara is going to shlug up. The pshat of Rav Huna is, Nasa ketayla nidrei badavar, that it's like the person hung his neder on something. Meaning that when the person says, I aser him, he asers himself for marrying a certain girl because her father is bad, it's like he said that he's only going to be aser if, as long as her father is bad. It's like a tenai, like a condition in the nether. And if that changes, if her father dies or does tshuva, so then his nether becomes mutter automatically, as around the rush, right, that you do not even need a Pesach from the Chachamim, because the nether is al tenai, on a condition, and once the father dies or does tshuva, so automatically the nether becomes permitted. This is the halacha, as the Shulchan Aruch paskins in Reish Lamed Beis Yotes, as well in the Rambam in Hilchos Nedarim, Periches Halacha Beis. It's kedai to point out, why do we paskin like Rameir in our Mishnah that these Nedarim are going to be mutter, if the end of the Mishnah says Ve'ein Chachamim Maidim Lai, and this is the Girsa of the Rush and Tisus over here, that the Chachamim do not agree to Rameir. The Chachamim hold that this nether is not going to be mutter. It's not considered Taila Nidrei Bedavar. It's not considered that the nether is conditional to the father being a Rasha. So the truth of the matter is that even though the Rush over here in his Perush has the Girus of Ein Chachamim Maidim Lai, the Rush in the back in his Psakim in Siman Gimel has a girsa of V'chachamim Maidim Lai, that the Chachamim agree to Rameir, and therefore it fits that that's how we paskin lahalacha. There's a fascinating shaila from the Mishnah Lamelech over there in Hilchos Nedarim. The Mishnah Lamelech brings a ranach, Chelek Beis, Siman Ayin Beis, that what happens if the father who did tshuva subsequently goes back to his evil ways and becomes a Rasha once again, does the neder go back to its place and he's going to be usher to marry this girl? The Karen Ira points out that once they are married, it's not going to be an issue anymore because the neder was against marrying her. But the shaila is, if the father became a Rasha again before he married her, would he now be usher once again to marry this girl? The Ranach brings a raya from the Rivash in Simin Shin Nunvav that the Rivash writes that if a person makes a neder assering someone else's house upon himself, he says, Kainim lebeischa shani nichnas, I asser going into your house. That the halacha is, the Mishnah says earlier on Memvav, that if he sells it to somebody else, he is going to be mutter to go into that house. However, the Rivash says that if that person buys back his house, then the neder is going to come back, and he's going to be usher to go into the house. And we don't say that once the neder was over, because it's no longer that person's house, it's mutter forever, even if he goes ahead and buys back the house. Zok the Ranach, so to over here, if the father goes back to his evil ways, then the neder is going to be chayzer lemkaymai, and he is going to be usher to marry this person's daughter. The Mishnah Melech argues with the Ranach, and the Mishnah Melech says that the two cases are not comparable. He says, by the case where the person assered somebody else's house, if the person sells the house, the neder never left its place. The neder stays where it is, just that house is no longer in existence. For example, if the house collapsed, there's no house right now. So if he sold the house to somebody else, the house does not exist in terms of his neder. Once he buys back the house, so now the house comes back, so the house is going to be, his house is going to be usher. However, in our case, where the person made a neder and ushered marrying this girl, and it was based on the fact he was taila it, he hung it in the fact that the father was a rasha, and now the father did tshuva, so the neder is uprooted. The neder is batal now. He is now allowed to marry this girl, and the neder became uprooted. So the neder is not able to come back to its place afterwards, because how can the neder come back? The neder's already been uprooted. I believe that the pshat in the Mishnah Melech is that the Mishnah Melech understood this halacha of our Mishnah, as Rav Huna explains it, is like a tenai, is like a condition. And since the condition has been violated, the father is no longer evil, so the neder becomes uprooted, and then the neder is not going to be able to come back. However, the Karen Ira asks on the Mishnah Lamelech that the Ran and the Rush over here bring a Yerushalmi. And the Yerushalmi compares the halacha of our Mishnah to a case where a person says, Kainim shani nena l'ish pleni kolzman shu leivish chayrim. He assers the person as long as he's wearing black. And the Rishami says, so certainly, if the person changes and puts on white clothing, he is going to be mutter. Zakta Karen Ira. It's pretty clear that since the neder was that I asser him as long as he's wearing black, that if he changes into white, but then later on changes back into black clothing, the person's going to be usher, because the person ushered him as long as he's wearing black. If we can explain the Karen Ira, that it's not like the Mishnah Melech, that it's a tnai, that it's a condition, that he's making the nether on condition the person wears is wearing black clothing. It's part of the nether. The nether is when the person is wearing black clothing, that's when he's going to be usher. And in our case over here, what the person is saying is that I'm ushering this girl as long as the father is a rasha. When the father's a rasha, then I am ushering this girl from marrying. When the father's not a rasha, then it's not bechlal, it's not included in my neder. And therefore the Karen Ira says that, not like the Mishnah Melech, that if he goes ahead and goes back to his evil ways, she is going to be aser, just like the case of the person that asers someone else's house upon himself. I believe there's a dik to the Karen Ira, to the Ranach, from the Ran over here, because the Ran over here writes, the Kivan, the Amar Shavira, Mashma Kolzman Shavira, as long as her father is bad. So Ran uses the Lashon of Kolzman, as long as the father's bad, which is Mashma, that if he did tshuva, but then subsequently went back to his evil ways, so now it's back to a time where the father is evil, where the father's bad, and she is going to be aser. However, I believe, although the Ran seems to support the Ranach, if you look carefully at the Rambam over there, in Hilchos Nedarim Peraches Halacha Beis, I believe it's mashma very much like the Shita of the Mishnah Melech, because the Rambam brings the Mishnah that the person made a neder, a shvua, that he won't marry a lady because her father is bad, or he won't go into this house because there's a bad dog inside of it. And the Rambam writes that if they die, or the father does tshuva, hareza mutter, he's going to be permitted. Shezek kemisha nadar unishba, it's like he made a neder, a shvua of Amar, and said, it's as if he said, Shelo es isha plainis v'loy echanis l'bayis zeh elim kein nistalak ezek. It's like he said that I'm not going to marry this lady, or I'm not going to go into this house, unless the hezek is removed. It's mashma from the Rambam that once the hezek, once the potential damage is removed, he is going to be mutter, the nether is going to be over. And therefore, it's mashma, even if the father later on went back to his evil ways, he's going to be permitted because at one point the hezek was already removed and the neder is over, like the shita of the Mishnah Melech. Tzarech Ian. The Gemara brings a second shot in the Mishnah from Rabbi Yochanan that the Mishnah is talking about where the person already died, the father already died or did tshuva at the time the person made the neder. And this would be a classic case of Nidrei Ta'ais. The neder was done on a false premise because the person specified that he's making the neder because the father is a Rasha, and therefore he is going to be mutter. According to this pshat, once again, Taisvis says that Reb Meir in our Mishnah is lenient. Reb Meir is matir the person. The ain chachamim maidim lo, and the chachamim do not agree. The chachamim aser. Why do the chachamim aser over here, where the father was already dead at the time of the neder? Why could the chachamim possibly aser? So Taisvis, the Rosh as well, explain that there's a gzera that maybe a person will be matir even in a case where the father died later on, or the father did tshuva later on, after the time of the neder. According to this, what does it mean? The Rameir says, Yesh dvarim shehen kenailad ve'einan kenailad. There are things that are like nailad and not like nailad. How at all is this like a case of nailad if the father already died at the time of the neder? So Taisus explains that it means that it could get mixed up with nailad. It's like nailad that a person could get mixed up with the case of nailad where the father died later. Nonetheless, einan kenailad. Nonetheless, the halacha is not that way. We do not treat it like a case of nailad. And according to Rameir, it's going to be mutter. It's kedai to point out that the Rush over here in this shot of Rabbi Yochanan flips the shitas of Rameir and the Chachamim. And the Rosh explains that according to Rabbi Yochanan, it's pumfaker. Rabbi Meir is coming to say that the person is going to be aser, and ein chachamim maidim lo, the chachamim do not agree, the chachamim are going to say that it is mutter. Why does the Rosh flip it around? L'chayra, the Rosh flips it around because he's bothered by what does it mean, yesh dvarim shehen kenaylat. it doesn't fit well. He doesn't hold of Taisus's pshat to say that it's like Nailad. Since the father died, it's very difficult to say that this case is like a case of Nailad. And therefore the Rush learns that it's the opposite. Remeir is saying, Yesh Dvarim Shehin K'Nailad. There are things that the Chachamim treated like Nailad. It doesn't mean that this is a case similar to a case of Nailad. It means there are cases that the Chachamim treated like Nailad. Ve'enan K'Nailad. Even though they're not really cases of Nailad, the Chachamim asserted it because of the Gzeira. Maybe will get mixed up with the case where the person died later, and therefore they treated it like a case of Nailad. Ve'ein Chachamim Maidim La, and the Chachamim do not agree. The Chachamim are going to permit. The Chachamim do not hold of this Gzeira. Parenthetically, according to the Rush's Girsa of Ve'chachamim Maidim La, that the Chachamim agree to Remeir, it would come out according to the Rush that the Chachamim hold of this Gzeira. And even though the father had died at the time of the Neder, we would be afraid for a case where the father died later on. However, this is not Negeya Lahalacha because we do not paskin like Rabbi Yochanan. We paskin like Rav Huna that even if the father died later, he is going to be permitted because it's Ketayla Nidre Bedavar. It's like he hung his Neder on that condition that the father is a Rasha. The Gemara, continuing forward on Samachayim Abayis, asks Akasha on Rabbi Yochanan from the Mishnah on our daf, today's daf of Samach Vav. Because the Mishnah says later on that if someone makes a neder that he's not going to marry a certain girl who is ugly, Vareina, and it turns out she is pretty, Shechaira, she's black, and it turns out she is white. Ksara, short, she turns out she is tall. He is mutter to marry the girl. And the Mishnah says it's not because something changed later on. That's not why he's going to be permitted to marry her. It's because the neder is a mistake. Meaning, as Rishonim explained, that if something changed later on, that somehow changed her appearance, that taka would not help to be matir his neder. And the only reason we're going to be matir his neder is because she was already pretty at the time he made the neder. He was just under a false impression. So the Gemara asks that Bishlema, according to Rav Huna, so we have two different halachas in these two mishnayos. Our mishnah is the case that a person is making like a tznai, he's nasa taila nidre bedavar, that he's only asering the girl as he only means to ask the girl as long as the father is a rasha, and if that changes, then she is going to be permitted. And the mishnah later on is a completely different halacha. It's not halacha about something changing, it's halacha of neder ta'is, that at the time of the neder, it was a mistake, because while he thought she was ugly, or he thought she was short, the truth was that she was tall. However, the Gemara asks, according to Rabbi Yochanan, why do we need both mishnayos? According to Rabbi Yochanan, it comes out that both mishnayos are teaching us the same halacha, because according to Rabbi Yochanan, our Mishnah as well is talking about where the father was dead or did tshuva at the time of the neder. So according to Rabbi Yochanan, why do you need two Mishnayos for? And the Gemara ends off kasha that this taka is a shverkait on the pshat of Rabbi Yochanan. The Rashba over here asks a beautiful kasha. Why does the Gemara ask on Rabbi Yochanan that why do we need two Mishnayos for? Adarabba. This Mishnah should be a kasha on Rav Huna. Why? Because Rav Huna holds that if the person says that he's asking this girl for to marry because her father is a Rasha, the halacha is that if something changes, if the father does tshuva or the father dies, she is going to be mutaris because nasa ketayla nidrai bedavar. If so, why in the Mishnah later on does the Mishnah say that she's only mutter because it was a mistake, because she really was beautiful at the time he made the neder, even in a case where something changed, even in a case if she was not pleasing at the time of the neder. Later on, she was fixed up, however, and she became beautiful, so that also should be mutter according to Rav Huna. Why does the Mishnah only say she's permitted in a case where she was already beautiful at the time of the neder? The Rashba answers that even though in our Mishnah we assume that the person is Taila Nidra Badavar, that the person only means to asu the girl as long as her father is a Rasha, and not if the father does tshuva or passes away. However, that's only in our Mishnah because that is something common. That is something that can be expected. Even though we said earlier that Misa is Nailad, but it's still in the realm of something that does happen. However, in the Mishnah later on, it's very unlikely, it's very unusual that the person's appearance should change. And therefore, the person did not mean to say in any way that he only is answering himself for marrying her as long as she is ugly or as long as she is short. The person never would think such a matter would change. And therefore, he only meant that I am answering her because she is ugly, because she is short. And then we only can permit him if that matter was indeed not true, and it was a mistake at the time of his nether. Going further, the Mishnah says, "Va'idamar Remeir paiskan lo min akasa shebetayra." Remeir says you're able to be paseya from psukim in the Tayra, and you could tell the person, "Ilo yisiyadeya shata ayver lo sikim v'lo siter lo sisa zichicha b'vavecha." If whatever the case of the nether comes and conflicts with one of these psukim in the Torah, and if you would have known that, would you have made this nether? And that would be, and he says, no, I would not have made the nether. That would be a good Pesach. The Ran in the beginning of the parak on Daf Samach Daled Amud Aleph and the Rush over there as well explain that this does not contradict that which we said in the beginning of the parak, that we're not able to be paseach b'chvayt hamakayim. We're not able to be paseach in the honor of Hashem. And the reason we said over there is because we're afraid that the person would not have the chutzpah to say that he would have made the neder anyways, even though it was a insult to the honor of Hashem. And we're afraid he's going to lie. However, Zok Diran in the Rush, that over here, where the person, where we're just asking the person about, did you know that you would be violating a pasuk, that the person does not take as seriously, and he would have the chutzpah to say that he would have made the neder anyways. And this is how we paskin in Resh Chav Ches Sif Yud. However, it's kedai to point out that the Taisus Rid on Daf Chav Beis Amar Aleph actually learns that this Shita of Remeir is against that which we said, that we're not able to be Paseach B'chvayt HaMakayim, and against what the Gemara said earlier, that we're not able to be Paseach in Kol HaBayta Rai L'Daikrai Becherev, that anyone who makes a neder, he's fit to be stabbed by a sword. The Taisus Rid says that this Mishnah conflicts with that, and we do not paskin like Remeir. And he says, just like in the last Mishnah of Yesh Dvarim Shein Kenaylad, the Einan Kenaylad, we do not paskin like Remeir. The Chachamim argue, Ein Chachamim Maidim Lai. So to hear Va'idam Remeir, Remeir also says, also follows, even though the Mishnah does not say so explicitly, that in Chachamim Maidim Lo, the Chachamim do not agree. However, we did mention before that the Girsa of the Rush in the last Mishnah was v'chachamim maidin lo, v'chachamim do agree, so therefore you wouldn't have this taina of the Taisus Rid. It's interesting to note that one of the cases of the Mishnah, one of the psukim brought, is Lysisna esachicha bilvavecha. The Rush explains over here what would be an example of a neder that would conflict with the pasuk of Lysisna esachicha bilvavecha. The Rush explains shenadar shaloi lishael bishleimai. He made a neder not to greet him, not to ask him how he's doing. And the Rush says, the Rush holds, this would conflict with the law of Lysisna Sachicha Bilvavecha. L'chaira, we see in the Rush that he does not hold of the sheet of the Rambam and the sheet of the Chinuch. The Rambam and the Chinuch both hold. The Rambam in his Hilchos Deis, Perek Vav, Olachahei, the Chinuch is a mitzvah, Reish Lamed Ches, that the Isser of Lysisna Sachicha is Dafka Bilvavecha. It's Dafka in your heart. However, if the person expresses his hatred outwardly, he does not hide his hatred, then he is not Aiver the Lav of Lysisna Sachicha Bilvavecha. As the Chinuch writes, he may be Aiver other Lavin, Vahafta Recha Kamaicha, but he's not Aiver Lysisna Sachicha Bilvavecha. And the Rambam learns that's the continuation of the pasuk over there. Lysisna sechicha bilvavecha. The next words are heicheach teichiach esamisecha. Zakta Rambam, the pasuk means don't hate your brother in your heart. On the contrary, tell him about it. Give him mussar. Give him a chance to correct the situation. So the Rambam learns the person's only iver if this love, if he holds it in his heart. However, from the Rush over here, that the Rush says that if the person makes a neder not to greet him, that he is violating the law of Lysisna Esachicha Bavavecha, according to the Rambam, not greeting him would not be a violation of Lysisna Esachicha Bavavecha. Maybe on the contrary, greeting him and pretending that you like him, that could be a violation of the law of Lysisna Esachicha Bavavecha. The Ramban over there in Parshas Kedoshim, in his second pshat, comes out like the Rambam, that the psukim, the pasuk is connected. Lysisna Esachicha Bavavecha, do not hate your brother in your heart. On the contrary, Heichiach Tachiach Esamisecha, you should give him mussar, you should tell him. However, in the Ramban's first pshat, the Ramban learns Al Derech the Rush over here, that it's lav dafka, it's not only usser to hate your brother in your heart. And the Ramban writes that Dibur HaKasav Bahaiva, the Torah just wrote the normal thing, the normal way is a person's hatred is inside his heart, but it's not dafka, only usser if it's hidden. Lysisna Sechicha Bavavecha, it's usser for a person to hate his brother. Another possible pshat in the pasuk we could say, and this is mevur in the Shiltis of Rabbi Eliezer, Shilta Chav Zayin, that the Shiltis says that I would think that only if a person hits somebody, if a person curses somebody, then he's Iver Alav. However, if a person just hates somebody in his heart, maybe the person's not Iver anything. Comes along the pasuk of Lysisna Esachicha Bavavecha. The Shiltis apparently learns the pasuk that Lysisna Esachicha Bavavecha means do not hate your brother even in your heart. Even in your heart, even if you don't do anything, still you're over the love of Lysisna. Even though the Shiltis is mefurish, like the sheet of the Rush over here and the Ramban, the Chinuch in Reish Lamed Ches, his Makar is from a Sifra in Dalet Ches, and the Sifra says, Layamarti Elasina Shehi Belev. The Sifra is clear that it's only Aser if it's kept in the person's heart. Seems we have a Stira between the Shiltis Rebbe Eliezer and the Sifra. the last Pesach of this Mishnah, the Mishnah brings the Chai Achicha Imach, your brother should live with you, and the Girsa of the Rishayim here, the Ran, the Rosh, and Taisvis, is Shema Ya'ani, maybe he'll become poor. Ve'inata Yechol Afarnaso, and you're not going to be able to support him. So therefore, would you have made this neder, knowing that such a thing will come about, you won't be able to mekayim the mitzvah of the Chai Achicha Imach? Amar Iloha Yisidei Shukein Lo Yisidei Neider Harezem Mutter. So that would be a good Pesach. And the Gemara asks a kasha. Amar Le Rav Huna Bar Rav Ketina Le Rabbanan. Neima Kol De Ma'ani Lav Alai Nafal. Mai De Matali Le Farnasa Bahada Kule Amar Me Farnasa Le. What's Rav Huna asking? Rav Huna is asking, what type of Pesach is it that maybe the person will become poor and you won't be able to give him tzedakah? Kol de ma'ani lav alai nafel, I'm not obligated to help this person in particular. Any person that becomes poor doesn't fall directly on me. I will give money to tzedakah, to the gabai, to the tzedakah collectors, and that person will be able to collect tzedakah. I don't have to give tzedakah to him directly. So what type of Pesach is it? Why would this be a reason for a person not to make the neder? There is a slight discrepancy here between the Ran and the Rush, and it makes a very big difference, lehalacha. The Ran says that if I give money to the gabai, to the tzedakah collector, subsequently, that poor person will be able to take money, even that money that I myself gave. And he brings from the Mishnah earlier on Memches Amud Aleph that if somebody is Asar Hana from his friend, and then he gives over to a third person something as a gift, so afterwards the person will be able to get Hana from that gift because it's no longer in possession of the person that was Asar Bana. So over here, even though he is not allowed to get money from me directly, but since it's no longer my money because I gave it to the tzedakah collector, to the gabai, he would be able to get hana from that money. However, the Rush clearly writes not this way. The Rush writes that the money that I give to the gabai will go to other poor people, and this poor person that's usher in hana from me will get from other money. It's mevura in the Rush that you are not, the ani is not allowed to get hana from that same money that the person gave. He only can get from other money that was given to tzedakah. What's the pshat in the machlekes, the Ran and the Rush? So the Machane Ephraim in Hilchos Shvuos Siman Tezayin explains that the Ran holds very pashut that when you give money to the gabai, it's no longer your money. The gabai is able to do whatever he wants with it. You don't control who he gives that money to. And therefore, it's like the Mishnah earlier, Memches, when it's given over to a third party. However, the Rush holds, Zakta Machne Ephraim, that even though the gabai is allowed to do whatever he wants with the money that I gave him, but the owner wants to retain ownership on that money. He wants to have the schus that his money is being given to the poor person. And the money that he still owns should be given over to the poor person. And therefore, the Rush holds that it will be usher for that poor person to get hana from my money. He would only be able to get hana from money that other people gave. What does the Gemara answer to this question? Amar lei, ani aymer, I say, kol ha-naifel, ein ha-naifel, lidei gabai tchila. Meaning, as the Rishayim explained, that when a person falls, when a person needs to collect tzedakah, he doesn't fall to the gabai first. It doesn't come to the gabai first. What does that mean? So once again, we have a machlekes Ran and the Rush. The Ran writes that a person doesn't go to the gabai first. Elishayo mikrevav, he asks from his relatives, umisparnis, and gets supported. Vahi shaita ka'avar akra dichsiv v'chai achich imach. The Ran learns that it's not the derech for the person to go to the Gabbai Tzaka first. First, the person will ask his relatives for help, and if the relatives do not help him, then they will be over the pasuk of achai achich imach. They are not allowed to push him off and say, you know, wait till you can get from the Gabbai. They're obligated to give him right now. There's a slight difference in the Rush. The Rush writes, Kisha'ani Adam, when a person becomes poor, Mutal ala krevim tchilu lefarnasai, it's incumbent, it's an obligation on the relatives to support him, ad sheyainu hagabayim, until the gabayim look and see if the krevim are not able to take care of him, the krevim do not have enough money to be able to take care of him alone, and then, if they can't do it, so then the gabayim take over. The Karen Ira points out that the Ran says that it's the derech for the person to ask from his relatives, and they are then obligated to help him and are not able to send him to the Gabbai Tzedaka. However, the Ran does not write as far as the Rush writes, that the Rush says it's an obligation upon them to feed their relatives, that even without the poor person coming to his relatives, it's an automatic obligation on the relatives to take care of them. And this is actually paskind this way in Yeridei Reish Nun Zayin Seif Ches. The Shulchan Aruch writes, Ani sheyesh lo krevim ashirim, Ani that has relatives that are wealthy, sheichayim lefarnasa, that they're able to support him, Ein gabay ha'ir chayavim lefarnasai, the gabay ha'ir are not obligated to support him, even though these relatives do contribute to the stock of funds, nonetheless they have a specific obligation to take care of their relatives, and they're obligated before the person should ever come collect from the Gabbai Tzedaka, as we see from the Rush over here. We will move on to the next Mishnah. The Mishnah on Samachayim Beis on the bottom says, Paischem la'adam b'ksubas ishtai. We're able to paseach a person in the ksuba of his wife. And the Gemara brings a story of a person that assured his wife in Hana, and her ksuba was 800 dinarim. And he came in front of Rabbi Kiva, and he ended up complaining, Rebbe, my father left me 800 dinarim, 400 my brother took, I only have 400 left. And now I'm going to have to give all of it to her. And Rabbi Kiva was Pesach, the neder, with this Pesach, with this heter. He said, if you would have known you'd have to give so much money, give all this money now for the ksuba, would you have made the neder? And he said, no. And he was matir the neder. And the Gemara asks, Metaltali mi mishtabdi l'ksuba? Is metaltali mishubid to a ksuba? The pashas of the Mishnahs were talking about actual money, actual cash, 400 dinar, and yet Rabbi Kiva said you're obligated to give her the money. So the Gemara asks, are metalta mishtabit to a ksuba? What's the Gemara asking? So the Ran explains that this is a machlaikas in Shas, in Ksubis, and af Pealif, Amabez, between Remeir and the Chachamim, whether metaltalim are meshubit to a ksuba, whether you're able to collect a ksuba from metaltalim. The Ran points out that you see from this Gemara that according to the Chachamim that hold that metaltalim is not meshubit to the ksuba, it's not only metaltalim that are no longer in the husband's possession. For example, he died and you're coming to collect from the Yisayimim. You see from this Gemara that according to the Chachamim, even from the person himself, the husband who owes her the money directly, you're not able to collect from metaltalim. And the Ran points out that this is different than a case of a bal chayv. If somebody owes somebody else money, even though the halacha is that if he dies, the metaltalim are not meshubid to the chayv, and one is not able to collect movable objects from the yisaimim. However, from the person himself that owes him the money, then everybody agrees you're able to collect metaltalim. Yet by ksuba, it's not that way. By ksuba, the chachamim hold that even from the husband himself, you're not able to collect metaltalim. The Ran explains the reason for this. As well, the Rashba writes along the same lines in Kiddushin Adaf Samechayim Abayz that by a ksuba, since it's not known when exactly it will be collected, if ever it will be collected, because a ksuba is only collected in a case where the husband dies or he divorces her. So therefore, the woman is not Samech Das. She doesn't really rely so much on collecting from his metaltalim, and she only really relies on karka, something like karka, which usually stays by him for a long time. That's the only thing that she relies upon, and that's her das is only on that, and therefore we only allow her to collect from karka. Mash'ein kina bal chayv, someone who owes someone money, which he for sure owes him, and the time of collection is established, there the person's das is on even the metaltalim. The Ran goes further and says that according to a mayor that holds that metaltalim are meshubit to a ksuba, it's not only from the husband that she is able to collect, but even if he dies, she would be able to collect metaltalim from the yisaimim, from the orphans, which comes out, as Aran points out, that according to Meir, a ksuba is stronger than a regular chayv, because by a regular chayv, everybody agrees that you're not able to collect metaltalim from the yisaimim, from the orphans. The Aran does not explain the reason for this. What's the reason for a Meir that a ksuba is better than a bal chayv? However, the Rashba over there in Kiddushin does explain, and he says that since a ksuba applies to every woman that gets married, therefore everybody knows about it. It has a kol tfei, it has a very big voice, meaning everyone knows about it, and therefore, according to a mayor, you're able to collect even from a taltalim, as opposed to a balchov, which is not necessarily known to everybody that there is a chayv here, that he owes him money. It comes out, according to the Ran, that Ramei and the Rabbanan are mamish svaras hapuchais, or mamish one end to the other. According to Ramei, you're able to collect from metaltalim, even from the yisaimim. And according to the Chachamim, you're not able to collect metaltalim, even from the husband himself. It's kedai to point out that Taisvis in Yevamis and Daf Tzadi Tes Amar Aleph, and as well in Ksubis and Daf Pei Aleph Amar Beis, argues with this Shita, and Taisvis holds that according to a mayor that holds you're able to collect from a Taltalim, that's only from the husband himself, not from the assignment. The Mishnah says in Ksubis on Daf Peyam Abayz that she is able to collect money from the brother, from the Yavam. So we see from there that you're able to collect even beyond from the husband himself. So Taisvis over there writes that a brother is Mamali Makom, he takes over the place of the deceased brother. And therefore, it's considered like you're collecting it from the husband himself, and therefore, it's no raya to this shita of the Ran. There is one more shita, and that's the shita of the Raiva that the Rashba brings over there in Kiddushin, that the Raiva learns the opposite of Taisvis. The Raiva learns that the machlokes between Rameir and the Chachamim is only in regards to collecting from the Yisaimim, or the brother collecting from someone other than the husband himself. However, by the husband himself, even the Chachamim agree that it's not any worse than a Baal Chov, and you'd be able to collect Metaltalim from the husband. This Ravid, Obi Tzarech Ian, how he will explain our Gemara, which is talking about the husband himself. The Gemara continues with Abaye's answer, that Abaye says the Mishnah does not mean literally 400 zuz or 800 zuz. The Mishnah means land that is worth 800 zuz. Gemara asks, V'haktani sar raishai, but the Mishnah says the hair of his head. Rabbi Akiva told him, even if you have to sell the hair of your head, you're going to need to do so to pay your the ksuba. And hair of a person's head is considered metaltalim. The Rush over here, fascinating Rush. The Rush writes that the hair of his head, if it's aimed ligazes, if it's aimed to be cut, meaning is he's ready for a haircut. Meaning that the Rush holds that if his hair is short, then it would not be considered metaltalim. The Gemara is asking because often hair is ready to be cut. And in such a case, since it's ready to be cut, it's considered like it's cut already. And therefore it's considered metaltalim. Mavur in the Rush, that if the hair is not made to be cut, then it's considered like the person himself, and the person himself is not considered metaltalim, he is considered like karka. This is a remarkable Rush, and I believe it fits in beautifully to Machlokes Rashi, Taisus, and Kiddushin on Daf Zayin Amud Aleph. The way Rashi learns the Gemara on Daf Zayin Amud Aleph, the Gemara calls an Isha Nechasim Sheyesh Lahem Achrayis. Nechasim Sheyesh Lahem Achrayis refers to Karka. And the Gemara, according to Rashi, refers to a lady, compares a lady to Karka. And Rashi writes over there that a person's compared to Karkais, because the Pasuk says, Mesnachaltem Oysam Lereshes Achuza, you give over. The Pasuk's talking about Avadim, slaves, you give them over as an inheritance. Like land, a land is called Reshes Achuza. And Taisvis over there jumps on Rashi, that this idea that we compare Eved to Karka is only specifically by Eved. However, a regular free person is not compared in any way to Karka. So perhaps this Rush over here is in line with Rashi and Kiddushin, that the idea of Avadim Hukshul Karkais is not limited only to Avadim. However, Taisus holds that it would only apply to Avadim. Another Ha'ara on this Rush is the Ha'ara from the Rishash. The Rishash asks that this Shaila of whether a person's hair that's aimed to be cut is considered like it's cut already is a machlokes between Rav Gamliel and the Chachamim in Sanhedrin on Daf Tezvav Amud Aleph. The Gemara is discussing in regards to Me'ila, that if the hair is considered like it's still on the Eved, then there would be no Me'ila from the Eved, because the Eved is compared to Karka, and Ein Me'ila B'Karkais. And the Gemara says that the Chachamim hold that the hair is considered like it's part of the Eved, and Rav Gamliel holds that since it's aimed to be cut, it's considered like it's cut already, and therefore there would be Me'ila from the hair that's on the Eved. And we can add that the Halacha is like the Chachamim, at least the way the Rambam paskins in Hilchos Me'ila, Perek Hey, Halacha Yud, the Halacha is like the Chachamim, that we do not say the hair is like it's cut already. So it's Tzarech Ian, that the way the Rishash is learning the Gemara, it would only fit like Rebbe Gamliel. So what's the Gemara's Kasha? Maybe our Mishnah, maybe Rabbi Kiva holds like the Chachamim, that the hair, even if it's aimed to be cut, is still considered like it's part of the person, and therefore it's considered like harkais l'shitas harash. We finally come to Daf Samach Vav, today's Daf. I have to ask Mechila that we don't have as much time for Daf Samach Vav as I would like. We could spend hours really on every Daf, but let's try to speak out a few important ta'aras on this Daf. The Mishnah says, Paischem b'yamim tayvim u'shabbasais, you're able to be paiseach in Yontif and Shabbos. The Ran explains that we tell the person, if you would know she'aser litzar b'Shabbos, that it's aser to have tzar on Shabbos, hayisa neder, would you have made the neder? And he says, no, we are matir him. We see a very important yusayd from the Ran, that not only on Yontif is there an issue of having tzar, as the Torah tells us, v'samachta b'chagecha, but on Shabbos as well, there is an issue with having tzar. And we find this in Halacha, in Resh Pei Zayin, in the Shari Tshuva. The Shari Tshuva writes that if a person is busy during the week, and only on Shabbos he has time to visit a sick person that he loves, that he's close to, then he'd be allowed to go visit him on Shabbos and Yontif. However, the Shari Tshuva says that somebody who's very soft-hearted and he's going to have a lot of pain for the person who is sick, he should not go on Shabbos because la'einig nitain v'loy l'tzar, because Shabbos was given for einig, for delight, and not for tzar. We see from the Shari Tshuva that the din of Einig Shabbos, v'karasa l'Shabbos Einig, not only tells us that a person is supposed to enjoy Shabbos with delicacies, etc., but a person is not allowed to have tzar if he can control it. He's not allowed to have tzar on Shabbos, and we see this from our Ran as well. The Mishnah continues, Barishayna ya'imrim, in the beginning they said, Aysan hayamim mutarim, those days are mutar, meaning Shabbos and Yontif would be mutar. Ushar kal hayamim, and the other days, if he asks for himself, let's say, for a month, those other days of the month are going to be asr. Ad shebar Rekiva v'limit, until Rekiva came and taught, shaneder shehutar mechlalai, or some have the gear sahutar miksasai, a neder that partially is permitted, hutar kulai, the whole nether becomes permitted. We have here a very fundamental machlekes right in the rush. What is the source for Rabbi Kiva's din of nether shehutar miksasai hutar kulai? The Ran brings the Yerushalmi, that the Yerushalmi learns it out from the pasuk of kechal hayotze mipiv yaseh, like everything that comes out of his mouth he should do, which is mashma only if he fulfills the entire Yaitzi Mipiv. If the nether is intact, Kechala Yaitzi Mipiv, like everything that comes out of his mouth, then Yasa, then he has to keep the nether. However, if part of the nether becomes undone, it's not Kala Yaitzi Mipiv, then the whole nether becomes Mutter, the whole nether becomes undone. The Rosh, however, does not bring this Pasuk of the Yerushalmi, and the Rosh explains that it's a Svara, that the person has a Pesach, that the person can say that if he would have known that part of his nether would have become permitted, he would have never made the nether altogether, because he made the nether with the intention that he should keep the entire nether. So once part of the nether becomes undone, it's a Pesach to be matir the entire nether. This sugya is really primarily on Chafeyam Ebeis, and we will be saimich on that. Going further to the next Mishnah brings down halacha, which we discussed earlier in the shir, that somebody who says, Kainim Shani Naisi has plainest Ka'ura, he answers himself for marrying so-and-so who is ugly, vareina, and it turns out that she is pretty, shcheira varei levana, etc. He is going to be mutter, not because something changed, as we spoke about, changing would not help as a Pesach for the nether. The reason why she will be muteres is only where it turned out that it was a mistake, that at the time of the nether, she really was beautiful. She was not kaira. So the nether was a nidre tais. And subsequently, the Mishnah brings a story with a person that asered basa chaisa, he asered the daughter of his sister, which parenthetically is a special mitzvah. And they brought her to Rabbi Shmuel's house, and Rabbi Shmuel beautified her. And Rabbi Shmuel then said to the person who made the nether, Bini, my son, did you make a nether from this girl? The way she looks, like this? And he said, no. And Rabbi Shmuel was matir him. And the Gemara asks, Maisa Listor, the Gemara asks on the bottom of the Amud, that this story contradicts the halacha we said in the Mishnah. We said in the Mishnah that it's only permitted in the case where he made a mistake and she was beautiful at the time that he made the nether. However, if something changed later on, that is considered naila, that's considered unexpected, as the Ran points out, and she would not be mutter, it would not be a good Pesach for the nether. So how could we then bring a story right afterwards that Rabbi Shmuel was matir the nether, even though it wasn't a mistake at the time of the nether? Rabbi Shmuel afterwards beautified her and made her look appealing. So the Gemara answers, Chasuri Mechsra, the Mishnah is missing words, and the Mishnah means to say that it's taka a machlekes. That Rabbi Shmuel argues on the Mishnah, and Rabbi Shmuel holds that even if she becomes beautiful later on, still you're able to make a Pesach, you're still able to be matir the nether. And then afterwards it's followed up with the story of this person that asered his niece and was brought to Rabbi Shmuel. What's taka pshat in the Shita of Rabbi Shmuel? So over here we actually have a three-way machlekes, three different pshatim in the Rishayim. The Ran explains very simply, the Rabbi Shmuel holds, like Rabbi Eliezer in the beginning of the Perek, that you're able to be Paseach b'Nailat. You're able to Paseach with something that happens later that's unexpected. However, the Rush over here learns, the last Rush on the Amud, the Rush writes, D'chsav Rabbi Shmuel holds, Kivan she'echoylun li'afosa, since we're able to make her look beautiful, La'haysa cha'ayra me'ikara, that means she was never really ugly in the first place. Meaning, Rabbi Shmuel holds that if you're able to make her beautiful by giving her proper jewelry or better teeth, as the Gemara explains, that's what Rabbi Shmuel did for her. So then it's called a nidre tais. It's really a mistake when he asked her because she was ugly. So it's a mistake. She's not really ugly. She just needed some correction. She just needed some cosmetic work. And therefore, it's called a nidre tais, according to Rabbi Shmuel. We have one final pshat, a most beautiful pshat from the Rashba. The Rashba is earlier on Samachayim Abayz. This Rashba we actually quoted before, that the Rashba said, the Rashba explained, what's the difference between the Mishnah on Daf Samachayim at Aleph, that we said that if the father does tshuva or the father dies, we are able to be matir the nether, as Rav Huna explained, Nasa Ketayla Nidrei Bedavar. As opposed to our Mishnah, we say that if later on somehow she becomes beautiful, then you're not going to be permitted. And the Rashba explained, because since the father dying or doing tshuva is in the realm of the person's mind, so therefore we could say that the person had in mind that he's only asering her as long as the father is alive, as long as the father is a Rasha. However, since in our case, it's not in the realm of a person's mind that the girl's appearance should change, so therefore he didn't mean to say that he's asering her only as long as she is ugly. He means that he's asering her, period, because she is ugly. However, Zakta Rashba, beautiful, that Rabbi Shmuel holds that it is common, it is in the realm of being able to affect somebody's looks by taking care of them properly, as Rabbi Shmuel himself took it upon himself to help Jewish girls improve their looks to be more appealing for their husbands, for marriage. And therefore, according to Rabbi Shmuel, it's nasa ketala nidja b'davar. It's like the case of the person who asked the girl because her father is bad, that the person means only as long as the father is bad. And over here also, only as long as the girl does not look appealing, because a person understands that that could change. And this is a beautiful pshat of the Rashba. I would like to end this parak of Rabbi Eliezer with the Gemara's last maisa and a beautiful pshat in this story. The Gemara says there was a Bar Bavel, there was a Babylonian person that went to Eretz Yisrael and married a lady, and they had problems in their communication because of the language barrier. The Gemara gives an example where he told her, cook for me trei talfi, which the Mefarish learns 2 feet of an animal, and bishlallah trei talfi, and instead she cooked for him two lentils, and he got angry at her. And this problem continued. And the Gemara says that one time he told her, go bring me trei butzini. Go bring me 2 melons, is what he meant. That was the Babylonian way of saying melons. And she understood from her language that he meant, bring me 2 candles. He became upset with her, he became angry at her, and he told her, go break these candles on the Reish of the Baba, on the head of the Baba. And again, there was a miscommunication, because he meant Baba as a door, as a gateway, and she understood Baba to mean that referring to the great Talmud Chacham, Baba ben Buta. So she went and she took the 2 candles and she broke them on the head of the great Baba ben Buta. Amar La, the last 3 lines of the Perek, he said to her, Mahadein da Avdis, what are you doing? Amrilay, she said to him, Kach tzivani bali, this is what my husband commanded me to do. Amari said, Ata sis ratzon bailech, you fulfilled the will of your husband. Hamakam yotzim mimeich shnei banim ke Baba ben Buta. Hashem should give you 2 children like Baba ben Buta. 2 children corresponding to the 2 candles, as Taisus explains. In Eilam HaMidais, Perek Hey, Ais Ches, that's Eilam HaKas, he writes over there a very nice pshat. Why was this husband constantly getting angry at his wife? Apparently, he did not realize, he didn't think enough as to what was going on, and he just assumed that his wife was intentionally disobeying his command. And what happened? she goes ahead and breaks the candles on Baba Ben Buta's head. And Baba Ben Buta doesn't get angry at her, doesn't start screaming at her. He says to her, Mahadein da Avdis, what are you doing? He wants to understand there must be a reason why she is breaking the candles on his head. An unbelievable vart that the husband is the exact opposite of Baba Ben Buta. The husband did not think, did not contemplate and ask his wife, why are you doing this? Why are you not listening? And then he would have been able to solve the communication gap. On the other hand, Baba Ben Buta, who was hit on the head, he was able to understand that there's a reason, presumably, for what she's doing. And he asked her, and this is a very important lesson in our dealings with other people. Many times people do things, family members and others do things that upset us, and we feel hurt, we feel slighted. And our first job is to try to think about that maybe things are a little bit deeper than what they appear on the surface, that perhaps there's a reason for what they did. And many times we could take the time to ask them to explain to us why they did what they did. We would discover that what they did was not the way we perceived it. It wasn't intentional. They didn't mean any harm. And this would be a great way to increase shalom in our lives. And mazel tov on this parak. May we be zeicha to learn many more prakim together.
You have been listening to the Shiurim of Shas Illuminated. Shas Illuminated is a non-profit organization dedicated to broadening the learning of those studying the Daf worldwide. If you would like to make a donation or to dedicate a Daf or Masechta, please visit our website at shasilluminated.org or call 203-312-SHAS. You can also email us at shasilluminated@gmail.com.